Anna Oli Pop Rock Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rock de Pop Rock Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hits från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rock Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Welcome to Goldwood. By the way, there's a couple of big foreign-looking guys in there. Even bigger than you.
Bigger than me.
John, come with me, John.
Where are you fellas from?
We are from much smaller, humble country called Japan.
Let's take this for the town of Goldwood.
They are the most honored athletes in our entire nation. These two men like a samurai.
I haven't been expecting you.
I bet you have, Judge. You have 3 days to turn over all the gambling money. And if you don't, we're going to come back here and we're going to kill every man, every woman, and every child in Goldwood.
I know these townsfolk aren't fighters, but you two are. Will you help? Let's clean up Goldwood.
Let's do it, Judge.
About what would happen to this thing. But you don't listen, do you?
Max, be careful.
Montana, shit!
Why don't you travel with us to see the president?
No, thanks. Too dangerous.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. Hey, I've got some fantastic returning guests on today. Two of my favorite people from the film world. They like to make movies for fun and profit, and that's a good thing. That is a good thing. Now, I've had Joe on before in different genres of movies, but they're back because they made a Western called The Wide West, and it's a fantastic movie. It's one of my favorite movies of 2025 so far, and for multiple reasons, which we will all get into, but it's phenomenal. To start out with, Alexander Nimsky and Joe Cornett is who we're talking to. Alexander is a producer on this film, co-writer, actor. Joe just hung out on set, didn't do, no, I'm kidding. He's the executive producer, director, and also an actor. And I was very surprised at this, Joe. I was worried at first.
Why is that?
I know you personally, and you're a nice guy. Couldn't find a nicer guy. And you're the villain in this. I know it's acting, and this is what you do, but I was surprised at that. And you're good. I generally didn't like your character in this film.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Alexander saves the day. One of the things I really liked about this film, Alexander, is the obvious sumo wrestlers from Japan. But what it really, from everything, I'm not an expert like Joe on the Old West, but what I've read is it was made up a lot, not entirely, but a lot of fresh starts. People were from somewhere else and they said, you know what? I need to go and have a fresh start somewhere and make my way. And so there was a real mixing of people from other places. And when you ride into town on your horse and then your first dialogue, you know, of course you got a little bit of an accent, which I think is wicked cool, but it did not seem out of place in this rustic Western setting. because I'm like, that's how it was. You know what I mean? You had all kinds of people out west, from what I understand. Very cool. I'm a big Western fan, and I still am after watching this film, if not a little more. If not a little more. Were you always a fan? I know you're a fan of movies in general, but particularly Westerns. When you were like a youngster, did you watch a lot of Westerns?
Joe, please start, because that I think that question is first for you. Come on.
It's even more interesting when Alexander talks about what he watched growing up as a young boy and what he had access to and what he didn't. But my love of the Western goes way back to when I was just a little kid and I would watch Westerns on TV. I'd watch Bonanza, Rawhide, The Virginian.
Rifleman. That was a favorite of mine.
Wanted Dead or Alive. These were all in syndication by the time I came to turn on the TV set. But I started seeing Westerns in movie theaters when I was about 9 or 10. And I saw all of the big ones. John Wayne was still around then. And I saw True Grit. And I was a big fan of Clint Eastwood very early on. But I saw most of his pictures on network television when they would first get their first run on TV. I don't remember exactly what my first Eastwood film was that I saw that was a Western. It was probably Outlaw Josie Wales. But I've seen all of them in theaters now in various art houses, special screenings and so forth, and all in these fabulously restored editions. But I grew up with this, and I had a movie camera at the young age of 14, 15, and I would try to slap a 50-foot cartridge into my Super 8mm silent camera and take all my buddies on a weekend, and we'd go put on cowboy hats and play. Little did I know that a few years later, it would turn into not a hobby, but a career.
But a career.
And I made my first major feature film was a Western that I wrote called A Prayer for the Damned. And it's been a thing with me ever since the beginning. I never thought I'd be lucky enough to make all these Westerns. Alexandra and I have now made 3 Westerns together, and I have 3 other Westerns that I did separate before I met him. Isn't that right, Alex? This is my 6th?
Yes, yes, Joe. And also we made amazing horror film, which you directed and starred in Night of the Caregiver. But yes, we made 3 Westerns. And Jamie, let me tell you that, of course, I wasn't as lucky as Joe because I didn't grow up watching Westerns. I just couldn't, because I grew up in Soviet Union and all the Hollywood movies were illegal in Soviet Union, probably except a couple of Oliver Stone's films, which they considered anti-capitalist films or something like Salvador or something like that. They never showed Hollywood movies in theaters. But thanks to Gorbachev and thanks to Perestroika, we started to get it on pirated video. And of course, I watched it all. And it's funny because very first Western, classic Western, which I really saw on the big screen, was a True Grit, classic True Grit with John Wayne. And I watched it at one of the film festivals in the beginning of the 2000s. It was an amazing experience to see John Wayne on a big screen. And Jamie, I'll be honest with you, Joe knows it because Joe knows everything about me and Westerns. And thanks to him now, I really established myself as like action hero of Western genre. And also I know a lot of things thanks to him. But for me, I always liked Clint Eastwood, of course. But John Wayne was my favorite because he was always clean-shaven. In all his movies, it was all clean, not that dirty. And he was big and tall, and especially in the Rio Bravo film. And much, much later, I read that Rio Bravo, John Wayne's Rio Bravo, was an answer to High Noon, because he watched High Noon and he was so upset about Gary Cooper's character of crying sheriff, and that's why he was so eager to create Rio Bravo, which actually became an inspiration for Joe's and mine gunfight at Rio Bravo many years later. But again, to answer your question, I wasn't as lucky as Joe or you, so I couldn't watch these movies when I was a kid, but it was a huge thing for me to watch them when I was younger and when I started to watch them on a big screen. And to be honest with you, if we talk about the Wild West, you're absolutely right. We had all the people at the Wild West back in the 1800s from all over the world. Remember, Joe, we spoke about that many times.
Yes, so we did.
When we had, for example, in Gunfight at Rio Bravo, we had people and actors from France, from Germany, from Russia, from the United States, and from Mexico. And it was authentic because that's exactly what happened at the Wild West. And same thing, Jamie, what you just said about our latest movie, The Wild West. Yes, when Russian American arrived to that town, there are already Japanese guys are there. Americans are there. Canadians are there. So all people. And the other thing is, it was huge fun to make this movie. And that's what me and Joe are always having. And actually yesterday, me and Joe, we celebrated at Wild West because it just became movie of the week on NBC Universal's Zumo. Out of their 150,000 titles, Jamie, they chose our movie as the movie of the week. And they push it very hard. And there's 40 million unique users using Zumo Play every month. Of course, it's not like they all watch the Wild West, but at least they're all aware of it because they see it on the front page because they're pushing movie hard. Mm-hmm. But answering the question, yes, we're trying to make movies authentic. And thanks to Joe, we always succeed in that.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's one of the things that is so iconic about Westerns is it's one of the few truly authentic mythos of American culture and American history. There's not a lot of, because America's made up of all these different types of people. So yes, you have mythology, but usually it's from other cultures that you run into. And the Western, as far as cinema goes, and I would say literature, probably art as well, it's truly an American mythology. And yeah, and people get very passionate about aspects of that mythology. Alexander, you're just like my father. There was in the late 80s, early 90s, there was a trend probably coming off the spaghetti westerns, the Leones, of the cowboy looking very rugged, very rugged. After all, he slept out in the field. And my father was like you. He's a fan of the classic, I don't care if I slept in the field, I'm going to shave today and my shirt's going to be pressed. And because that's who I am. And it's funny because that even carries over. The other day, I was getting ready to do a show. And I'd been up since, you guys know, get up at 3 a.m. I work hard. And this show was late. They had to be 10 o'clock at night. I was tired. I wanted to go to bed. And I told my wife, I said, man, I am not doing the hair out tonight. I just don't feel like. And she looked at me and she goes, yesterday you watched a Western. Do you think those cowboys, they were tired. Do you think they wouldn't put their hat on or strap their belt on? You're right. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to do the hair right now. And the hair was done that night. But yeah, she specifically said, she goes, you were watching a cowboy movie. Come on. And it's very cool. And it's funny because the Western myth really travels into other genres as well. And people say all they want about Star Wars. Yeah, it's science fiction. That's a Western, man. There is a clear bad guy. There's a clear good guy. The movie's in the desert the majority of the time.
So was the original series of Star Trek.
Same type of deal.
See, in the 60s. And Gene Roddenberry famously called that Wagon Train to the Stars.
Yeah.
He wrote it with a Western mythos behind it. And the reason this genre lasts is because, much like mythology never truly dies, nor does anyone lose interest in it, these stories are mythic, they're moral many times, and they have iconic characters that represent, usually, if they're done well, almost every facet of the human experience, good, evil, duplicitous.
It was fantastic.
And they're like Greek mythology. I always say that all the time. But you're right. It is uniquely an American thing, along with jazz.
Yeah, that's very true, too. Very true. I was when the last time we did the show, we had some different cast members on. Tatiana was one of them, and we were getting into discussions of her costuming, and she looked great in that. It looked like a Vogue model out west. But she had very elaborate costumes and changed it up throughout the film. And I was thinking from a practical point of view, I'm like, damn, these guys are filming out in a desert somewhere. This isn't a green screen in a room in a studio somewhere.
Oh, no, it's not a green screen. Joe, please tell us a little bit about that great town we shot, because we shot Wild West in California, not in Arizona. But please, Joe.
We shot the Wild West at a wonderful movie town called White Horse Ranch that has been around for a number of years. The owners are great friends of mine. I have shot 4 movies there.
Wow.
And it's out near Yucca Valley and Landers. If you know anything about the yeah. So the first phase of production that we had, we were out there during a hot month. And we had the sumos with us. These guys are 565 pounds each. And they were doing their thing. They were doing their thing in the ring. Now we were lucky because we had a very moderate day for that time of year. But they weren't fazed by it at all. It gets very hot in Japan too, by the way. But I felt sorry on that go round for Tatiana, because she had, Alexander, correct me, two outfits on that shoot, I think.
And she had seven.
Well, no, she had seven, but she had two on the first phase that we did.
And two or three.
And it was like 110.
Yeah.
And she didn't bat an eye. So that's why that's the only difference I have with my Russian counterpart. Is I'll be honest, I like my characters to be gritty and dusty and dirty. And if you look at my guys, usually they are. Although this guy isn't really, but
you were the detective, it was the same thing it wasn't just a cool leather jacket, it was a used leather jacket, we'll say. I was telling Tatiana, she looked amazing.
Yeah.
I said at first I thought, okay, here's the saloon girl. The wily saloon gal, and she wasn't. She was like, her character was very true to, I'm starting fresh, and I'm doing my business, and I'm going to work this crowd at this crossroads of town and make my money.
Yeah.
Alexander's character is a gambler. Same type of thing. I'm here to make money. I'm here to make money. And Joe's character, he was an SOB. But he was there to make money. But there was a wily saloon gal that, of course, Joe's character, because they always like the bad guy. They always like that type. He saw that. And I don't want to give anything away. I want everybody to watch the film. But
it's a nice little twist, isn't it, Jamie?
It was on that back stair. I'm telling you, I don't want to give anything away, but I saw it and I cheered from the sofa. I was like, I knew it. I knew that. Anyway.
But I also like what you just said about Western genre in general. Because again, for you as Americans, of course, it's iconic. But for all the people around the world, I think they think about Hollywood. When they think about Hollywood, they think about Westerns first as a genre. And you're absolutely right. Star Wars, we consider a Western. Star Trek, we consider a Western because there's always good guys, bad guys. Weapons and beautiful women and all that adventures and all of that. And what I personally love about Western genre, in 99% of Western movies, there's always positivity. Yeah, we can call it just fairy tales, whatever, but it's also very positive. And it's great. It's full of adventure. It's full of some great ideas. And basically, filmmakers, they give people like a couple of hours of escape.
Of a break. Yes.
Exactly. And that's a great thing what me and Joe have in common. Because Joe is a great filmmaker as a director as well. But also he's a great actor. But as you, Jamie, and it doesn't matter what you're doing. You're doing podcasts or you're doing movies or you're doing some art or whatever. If you work with someone that someone should basically think the same as you are. And that's the only way for you to work together for the great result. Anyone can work together. But if we talk about great result, you know.
Then if you're making art like you guys.
Exactly. And in that case, you're absolutely right. In that case, I was lucky and we were lucky. Because Joe, it doesn't matter if it's a heat or if it's whatever, it's a sumo wrestlers or it's a Russian bodybuilder or it's 40 people, extras, bad guys with horses, whatever. Joe is always calm. Joe is always prepared. He's positive and he has a vision. He has a vision, which in my opinion, and I will ask him that, I think it's all based on his huge knowledge of Western genre. Joe.
Thank you. And I might add to your list of adversarial things to deal with on a set. Don't forget, we had a downpour of a monsoon on one of our sets. It was clear as day. We were shooting in Arizona, it was monsoon season over there. And yes, the sky went black. There was thunder and lightning.
And in the desert.
You use it, and you use it in the scene right away.
Yeah.
You're like, thank you, God. I needed this.
You have to.
Turned out even better.
You have to be prepared. And for anything.
You guys make a lot of movies. And I know movies, and folks, these are actual feature films we're talking about here. This isn't, hey, let's all get a six-pack of beer and show up on the weekend, and maybe we'll film something. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's your jam, go do it. But my point is, and I don't care if you're in a band, you're making movies, you're baking biscuits, you're painting, whatever, doesn't matter. I have never been on set with these guys, but I know them well enough to know that they're professionals. Things are as planned out as they can possibly be. Yes, those plans may change, but they adapt and overcome, and things get done. So often, in any type of project, that's hard. And then you're dealing with people as well. And it's a period piece. So in the last interview, they were talking about your guys' motorcycle or four-wheeler riders or whatever. But so that kind of takes everybody out. We can't have a Suzuki in the background going across. We don't have the budget to airbrush that out of the scenes. And it throws the actors off, I would imagine.
Luckily, we did have a budget to erase a lot of things that. We did. But you're absolutely right. There's always so many difficulties. There's so many obstacles. And it doesn't matter if you're making like $15 million movie or if you're making $500,000 movie, it doesn't matter. Because if you're making a serious project, you will always have obstacles. And you have to think as a businessman, and that's important as well. And it's funny you spoke about it because yesterday, me and Joe, we were smoking cigars in Grand Havana Room in Beverly Hills. Yes, we were celebrating the Wild West because it's out and it's our fourth movie together, Jamie, out of 4 years. Exactly 4 years ago, we started Gunfight at Rio Bravo, started to shoot it in Arizona. And 4 years later, we have our fourth movie in release.
And it's movie of the week.
Talking about,
And it's the movie of the week.
Exactly. But it's not just a movie of the week because yesterday I gave Joe a lot of information about our distribution. And Gunfight at Rio Bravo, Jamie, was released in 32 countries. In 32 countries, somewhere theatrically, somewhere on streaming, somewhere on TV and DVD, but in 32 countries. And to all your audience out there, because you're absolutely right. Today, it's easier. And it's easier to make a movie, especially like a short movie, or if we call it amateur movie, with all due respect. And we should encourage people to do it. No questions. They should do it. But they also should think about business side of things. Yeah, you should have fun. You should have fun. But if you want to make them one after another, you always should have a plan. And it doesn't matter how difficult it is, you still should have a plan. You still, of course, there's many things which will not go according to your plan. But you should push. And that's the only reason, Jamie, why some people can continue to make movies and others cannot.
They run out of money.
Absolutely. You have to have a strategy that includes not just the creative strategy, meaning crafting the story and getting the right actors to play the right parts, but you have to get a strategy for a business model. You have to get a strategy for what's a contingency if something goes wrong. You have to get a strategy for the post-production. What happens if you lose an editor or a colorist or something like that? All these things happen. What if something goes wrong with the sound? What if ADR is necessary? You have to have a total 100% end game. You have to think this out. It's true with anything really worth doing in life. You have to think this out to the absolute end, not just, hey, the movie's finished, let's do something with it. Let's show it downtown. No, you have to have a marketing strategy. You have to have a distribution mechanism in place and a good distributor that you can work with. And you have to have all of these components. And that's true with anything. That was true when I built strip malls in Las Vegas years ago. And that's true about this. And that's where a lot of people don't understand. They go into it and they stop at the creative phase and they don't think of the business phase.
Absolutely. In my little world, my little corner of the art world, you'll be amazed, ladies and gentlemen, how many times I will paint four paintings knowing that those four paintings are going to be available on my merch store and money's going to continue to generate money. And also, they're going to make me enough money to buy canvas and stuff for the next eight paintings. You know what I mean?
Moving.
You got to do that. And it's funny. In my case, I learned that from some unscrupulous character. I grew up in Detroit. It was a rough town then. And I learned that from some people that were in a probably not the most legal business. And the first thing they taught me is you got to reinvest in your business. You've sold whatever and made this much money. You got to get more product to keep the train going, shovel that coal. And a lot of people, I'm not trying to be an old man and bag on young people. They all want to do this to be famous. They want to live in Beverly Hills like Alexander and Pasadena like Joe and hang out with models and that's all, and smoke nice cigars. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with having that carrot in front of you, but you got to do the work. That's the thing. Joe and Alexander get up early too. And you know what? They're not just filming a film. They've got people on the phone that they got to deal with that are saying, hey man, I threw 50 grand at this project. When am I going to start seeing some of that back? And they got to keep doing that. They got to keep doing that. What is this? This just popped. I'll have to cut this out. Guys, I might have to send you another link because it says your meeting's going to end in 10 minutes. Or we'll just wrap it up, whatever you guys want to do. It's been 40 minutes. Jesus. We'll wrap it up. I could talk to you guys for hours, though. For hours.
Yes. And by the way, thank you again for supporting, not just us, for supporting independent filmmakers, Jamie. Because it's just Joe just said it. Because when you finish the movie, your movie actually is not done because someone has to continue to push it forward to distribution, to publicity, not just to North American release, to international release, to make sure your movie is in Asia, in Eastern Europe and Western Europe, and promote it over there, not just released, so no one hear about it. So thank you and your colleagues, because it's really important to get word out and just to really support independent filmmakers, studio filmmakers as well. But of course, studios, they have bigger budgets to push their products and all of that. Exactly.
The interesting thing is I was telling the guy who played the sheriff, I can't think of his name.
Nick Bailey. Great actor.
I was telling Nick, you guys do such a good job and visually the place looks stunning. But you guys' friends who owns that town, they were thinking, I got this property out here in the middle of nowhere. How can this generate income, or just what can I do here? Let's build a town. Let's build a set. This whole town is a set.
Yeah.
Smart.
But it's a very interesting story.
Yeah, please.
I'll give you this, the short version. The guy that built that town, his name Peter Menehart, he hails from Germany. And probably not so much now, but for many years, Germany was home to probably one of literature's greatest writers about the old American West, Karl May.
Okay.
And Karl May wrote many books in German, and he never, ever went to America. He researched everything in encyclopedias and through
went
people
in his
that
mind.
Traveled there. And he wrote many famous books, many of which turned into films. And so if you were a German growing up over the last 100 years, you would read Karl May's Western novels. So when Peter came to this country in the 1980s, I believe, he had a number of very successful businesses. And then he bought that large chunk of land out there, literally in the middle of nowhere, and he built this town. It was his vision. And originally, he just wanted to build it so he could have this beautiful Western town so he could invite his friends over. And then all of a sudden he goes, yeah, but I could shoot movies here. I could have events here. I could do all kinds of cool stuff.
Absolutely.
And it developed very quickly. But it's got a great look to it. It's got a different look than a lot of Western location towns. It just has a different look to it.
It's very cool. And it's not, the buildings look like buildings. They don't look like they're made out of barn wood with big gaping holes and stuff. It's very cool. And your set designer, whoever was on set design, was awesome. Because I'm a visual guy. I'm looking at that. I'm looking at that piano by the door. I'm looking on the wall above it. I'm paying attention to the characters, don't get me wrong, but I was very impressed. I was very impressed.
Thank you. It's
a fantastic film. And guys, folks out there, this is streaming for free. I put the link up daily.
Thank you.
You don't have to sign up for anything. You can't. I personally do because I want it to suggest things that I like, but you don't have to. You just click the link and you're watching the movie. Man, you're watching the movie. And for those at home, if you want to watch it on your big screen, this is what I do. There's a Zuma Play Roku app. Just go to Roku, type in Zuma Play, and it has...
Very user-friendly to get it on your big screen. It's on mine.
Yeah.
And I'd like to make a special mention to a couple of people. Of course, you know, our great sumo champions.
Oh, yeah.
Hiroki and Ichi. But I'd like to make a special mention of a great guy, Kaz Kobayashi, who very effectively wielded not a katana sword, but a cavalry sword. And that's one of my favorite scenes in the movie. And this guy is just a complete consummate gentleman, and special thanks to him. And I'd like to also thank Carrie Goodwin for really doing what she did with this part, because that kind of role is not easy. And she did.
And me, Jamie, again, I want to tell her that I was so lucky because you had an amazing team. Joe was our captain and director, and my co-star, Andrew Freon, my friend Andrew, was the producer of the film. And actually, it was him who brought Hiroki, great champions, Hiroki and Ichi and Kaz, actually, to the project. Tatiana Neva was amazing. And Carrie Goodwin, it was the... My other movie, Carrie, we did two Rio Bravo movies, and Joe worked with her on Promise. She's amazing. And Nick co-produced movie with us and did a great job, Nick Bailey, and everyone else. We had an amazing team. And Lee Dalton, who played President Theodore Roosevelt, he did a great job. And Sean Murray, who wrote great music. See, again, we started from that, and we can finish on that you have to have great team. If you want to have a great result, you have to have a great team. Zuma Play is our distributor. Everyone can watch The Wild West on Zuma Play. And Joe, please tell what we're doing next. Rio Bravo 3.
Nice.
The Last Heroes of Rio Bravo.
Last Heroes of Rio Bravo.
Love it.
We have the script. We have everything ready to go. This is part 3 of the franchise, the Rio Bravo franchise. And I'd like to point out, I got a message early this morning from a gentleman in Canada, in New Brunswick, I believe it was. And he just watched Gunfight at Rio Bravo last night. This is a true story. And I love this business because of stories like this. And he says, I want you to know, both, and please relay to Alex and your cast and crew, my wife and I watched Gunfight at Rio Bravo last night. We absolutely love it. We're going to start watching the rest of your catalog. And I have to tell you, I think it was his father-in-law. His name is Vernon Kelly, which is my character's name.
Wow.
In the Rio Bravo series. And he said his uncle Vernon's daughter is Jenny, who is Cary Goodwin in the Rio Bravo oh. series. So he says, I love the way everything just worked out and we really loved it. And we're gonna do Taken from Rio Bravo next and looking forward to the Wide West. So
how cool is that?
Well, you know, it's fun little things like to keep you going and keep you positive.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. You guys got the coolest jobs in the world.
Yes.
You guys know this. It's obvious. I'm glad you're making these movies. I'm telling you, during that
Thank
pandemic,
you.
Independent film pulled me through.
Yeah.
There was nothing new anywhere else. And I started watching a lot of movies. And I'm in South Florida, so there's a lot of people of a certain age here. Suddenly, they all figured out the Roku players, and they were watching because they needed to. They didn't have anything else to watch. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm glad you guys are doing what you're doing.
Thank you. We appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thanks for all the kind
Incredibly of entertaining. Okay, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you on the next one. All the links and everything are in the description below.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited.
Hola, Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.